Take your Bibles, please, and let's turn to Proverbs chapter 15. We're continuing in our series. The first four verses form a paragraph in which deals with speech, Adonai's statements concerning speech. And today we're going to be dealing with the next three independent, standalone verses, but all three relate to the home. And you'll find this often in the Proverbs, and we're going to see more of these in this particular Proverbs, but these three were put there. And by the way, many believe that Asaph was the one that organized the Proverbs for Solomon. He was one of the worship leaders during his father's reign, and often, I think, was involved. You'll see songs of Asaph in the Psalms, but you'll also see some references to him as perhaps being one that was involved in the organizing of the Proverbs. Some believe that it was King Lemuel that is mentioned in the last chapter that may have been involved in the organization of the Proverbs. But you'll find that Adonai speaks on a variety of topics. We looked at this last time. I'll see if I can go back to this right here. Wisdom on the tongue, wisdom with receiving correction, wisdom with our emotions, wisdom in our homes, verses 6, 20, and 25, wisdom in our daily interactions with others, wisdom in our walk with Adonai, and wisdom in our daily choices of actions. Wisdom, again, being the theme. That's the whole point of the book of Proverbs. There are wise statements for God's people. And Lord knows we need wisdom. Each and every day of our lives, we need wisdom. There are all kinds of things. I had a man that came to my office this week, one of our employees, and he said, I don't know what to do. My transmission went out. I don't know whether I should try to fix the transmission or whether I should go get another car. And I said, how many miles does your car have? He said, 300,000 plus miles. And I said, well, that's a no-brainer right there. It's time to go find another vehicle. You're sinking good money after bad. And I said, you really need to do that. Now, I'm not a genius, but for him, this vehicle, he's had it for 20-something years, and he just loves the vehicle. Got a lot of miles on it. But there comes a point where you have to turn mama's picture to the wall and move on, right? And that's exactly what I told him. I said, I love my vehicles too. That white pickup truck I drove for 21 years. I loved it. But it got to the point where it was nickeling and diming the ministry over and over again. And I said, this isn't good. We're going to have to move on to something that doesn't cost as much. And so I told him that. He said, you're the second person that said that. I said, who was the other person? He said, your brother. So I said, and that's saying something coming from Brainerd's, because we drive the wheels off of our vehicles. My dad is an earnest believer in that, and he passed that along to us. But there just comes a time where you have to say, you know, sinking more money into this. And then he began to list the other problems that he was having with the motor. And I said, there's just an indication that you need to find another vehicle. And so he's out searching for that. Wisdom is not something that is latent within our lives. Common sense, maybe, for some people. They've grown up in a good home where mom and dad taught them to use their heads. All right? Wisdom and common sense are linked, but wisdom is something that comes from God. All right? Very, very important. And so we're going to be dealing with some things related to the home as we get into verses 5, 6, and 7. We're going to be looking at wisdom in home education, wisdom in home economy, and then we're going to look in wisdom in home edification. I don't usually alliterate. You'll notice that about me. I'm not one that's big on alliteration, and I'll tell you why. I got kind of burned out in college. They had you alliterate everything. For every sermon, you had to alliterate it, and I understand. But sometimes it just gets to the point where you're spending all your time trying to figure out what letter you're going to use rather than figuring out what the message is from God's Word. All right? And I just got burned out. We had a joke going around. It was a guy that couldn't think up a word, a letter for something. And so he had purpose was his first point. The second point was praise. And the third one was faith. And he spelled it P-H-A-I-T-H. And the teacher says, that's not going to work. He said, why? It begins with a P and it makes the same sound. And it gets to the point where you spend all your time as a preacher trying to alliterate everything. And sometimes it gets to be a little much. But this just fell naturally. I didn't have to strain at it. It was basically in the text, if you think about it. These three things that we're going to be in, and these are each individual sentence paragraphs. But they deal with the subject of the home. How many of you believe that we need teaching on the home? Especially in the days in which we live. There are people that are struggling with home life. The number one question that we are asked here at school is, how do I get my kids off of social media? How do I get them off their phones? And generally the first question is, who bought them the phone? Did they save up their own money and get it? Or did you buy it from, I bought them the phone because everybody else was doing it. Well, that means starting with, you started off by giving something that you hadn't thought through. Do you do that with food? Would you give your kids poison? We say, well, no, we'd never do that. Would you give your kids something that you knew would harm them to eat? Well, obviously, no. Would you give them something that would hurt them as far as a toy? You know, they have these little teeny tiny toys that are collectibles now, but they're choking hazards for children ages 1 through 4. And they recommend, don't buy these for your kids. And we're very astute about that. We don't want to buy something that our kids would choke on, but we'll hand them a phone and then wonder why we've got attitude issues, why they're watching things that they ought not to watch. I had that discussion this week. They said, what do I do? And I said, well, first of all, have you installed a filter on their phone? Well, no. That costs money. All right, and I said, all right, it costs money. Your child's attitude has gone south. They're watching things they ought not to be seeing. What is it worth to you? Your child's mind and heart, or the few dollars you're going to spend a month? I never thought about it that way. And I gave them, there were two filters I recommended. One of them was called Covenant Eyes, which immediately alerts a parent whenever they go to a site that's bad. Or they're playing games that are rated bad with language, nudity, whatever the case. It alerts the parents immediately so they can go stop it. Now you might say, well, that's intrusion into your kids' rights. Amen. No, what you're doing is you're trying to prevent them from being harmed, just like you would pull your kid back from stepping out into a street to get run over, or to prevent them from taking in poison that they got a hold of. It's the same thing. And people that say that it's not the same thing are deluded. They're deluded. They're deceived. So we have to get back to the Bible. And the book of Proverbs is such a help to parents and to grandparents. It's easy to get into that mindset, well, we'll just spoil them and send them home to the parents. And they'll have to beat a grandma and grandpa out of them. Is that a good thing? No. We ought to be on the same page though, right? We ought to be on the same page. So here we find in this verse 5, the first of the instructions here about home education. A fool, verse 5 says, despiseth his father's what? Instruction. But he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that you would take over these lips and mouth, and may your Holy Spirit teach us today from your word. There's so many things here that we need as parents and grandparents to be reminded of. There's nothing new here, but Father, but there are things that we need to be reminded of none the same. And I pray that you would help us today to capture these thoughts and to put them into practice in our lives, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, I want you to see the identity of a person that despises their father's instruction. What is the identity? What is this person called? A fool. You know, a fool according to scriptures, is a person that's not merely lacking intelligence. That's what our definition is today. A fool is somebody that lacks intelligence. But that's not the meaning of the word in the Bible. And you need to know that. A fool is someone who willfully rejects God, despises wisdom, and acts with moral corruption. That's the identity of the fool in the book of Proverbs. Three things that are highlighted. You can share more, but these are the three capital things that I would put. A fool despises and rejects God willfully. It's a matter of their will. They reject God. Number two, they despise wisdom. And then thirdly, they act out with moral corruption. They are characterized by arrogance. That's another name for pride. They're characterized by a quick temper. People that have a quick temper are foolish. That's a hard thing to swallow. We've all known people that just blow up like a volcano. You say something to them that they didn't like, boom, off they go. We had a guy that coached for years and years. He's dead now. He died at 65. Massive heart attack. Big tall guy, played basketball in the past for Allentown Central School back in the day. And he had two boys. Both of them were tall. Both of them ended up being good basketball players, but he never got to see them play because he died of a heart attack. He was older when he got married and had his kids. But he was that way. He would blow up. You were just waiting for the first questionable call, and he would go nuts, running onto the field. We had to pull him off. I had to tell him, you can't coach anymore. Can't coach anymore because your attitude is not right for kids. They don't need to see this from you. And he ended up leaving and going somewhere else. But just quick on the trigger to blow up. That's a fool. Somebody that would do that. Somebody that cannot restrain themselves. Now there are times whenever there is godly indignation. I understand that. But whenever you blow up over the least little things or blow up because you perceive something not to be right, rather than going and saying, now listen, I'm concerned about this, maybe talk to an umpire. Hey, it didn't look like that call went right. Can you go talk to the base ump and see if there was a difference, or the plate ump, and see if there was something like that, and handle it properly. Handle it properly. When you blow up, there's always collateral damage. This morning, Roger told me about one of the businesses down here on Glover. Their whole plumbing mechanism out front, right, the backflow preventer, was blown apart. All the pieces and parts were scattered all around because of freezing temperatures. They didn't insulate it. And so it froze, and that ice pushing out from the inside just caused that thing to go everywhere. Now they got to replace that whole mechanism. And by the way, backflow preventers are very expensive, as we found out recently on a replacement out here in the front. We had to replace one. It didn't freeze, but the backflow preventer was not working, and we had to pay almost $1,500 to get it replaced on a 2-inch line. We have two of them on campus, big ones. Blew up. All the pieces went everywhere. Now, when someone cannot control their temper, they're indicating something. Sirens are blowing off. I am a what? Fool. Because the Bible says so. Quick temper, persistent repetition of folly, and disregard, now get this, for divine revelation. A disregard. So a fool, we're told, despises his father's instruction. But he that regardeth reproof is prudent. So there's some important words here. Proverbs is written as advice from a father, first of all. It's Solomon, for the most part. You have King Lemuel, you have Moses. There are some Proverbs that are included there. So there are others that their Proverbs are included for us to learn. But it's basically advice from a father to his son. We see that in the early Proverbs, chapters 1 through chapter 11. Basically, my son, hear the words of your father. My son, hear the words. And we have the same thing here. A fool does what? Despises. What does the word despise mean? It means to reject outright. To reject outright. On what basis? It doesn't fit my narrative. That's basically the definition of the word. To reject something outright because it goes against what you think. Right? Your meta-narrative. The way you think about things, and so that doesn't sound like the way I think the thing should be, and so I just reject it. A fool does that. Whereas a wise person acts prudently. They listen. Isn't that a wonderful thing to listen? Have you ever talked to somebody and they were turning away and looking at other things and looking at their phone and you're talking to them? They're sending out vibes. Right? They're not listening. I try to do my best to always look people in the eyes when we're having a conversation. That lets them know I'm listening. I'm concerned about what they have to say. If my eyes are darting all over the place and I'm looking at my phone and somebody's talking, and you're going through that, you're not listening. That's not prudent. That's not prudent. So a fool outright rejects his father's instruction. Now, this is important to see this. We're told the source of the instruction. You know what this fool has a problem with? His dad. He has a problem with his dad. Now, why would kids or young people have a problem with their dad? Well, there's multiple reasons. Maybe it's because they're a drunk. Maybe it's because they abuse their spouse. Those are reasons that immediately come to mind. But then there's the other side of the spectrum, and they just can't stand discipline. They don't like discipline. They actually hate and despise. And normally, it's a father who wants the best for their child and puts in restrictions. You want to see kids blow up, take away their phone. We deal with it all the time. They're supposed to leave their phones turned off in their lockers. By the way, the state of Florida changed the rules. In elementary and middle school, they're not to have a phone at school. All right? This coming year, they're going to pass the bill related to high school students. They're not to have their phone. They're to leave them in their vehicles. Or they get locked up in the front office. They have these pouches. And they have to go to the front office, lock it in, and it gets locked in and put in. At the end of the day, they come back. Now, why is the state of Florida passing laws and other 26 other states doing the same thing? Kids are distracted from paying attention to a teacher. They're scrolling, they're looking at things they ought not to be looking at. They're looking for answers to tests. These wrist phones, I despise them. If you have one, I'm sorry. All right? But when I was teaching, every quiz I gave, please bring up your wristwatch. All right? And I would have a stack up on my desk because you know how easy it is to go tap, answer real quick, and it's poop right there. Just like that. It happens in college all the time. They're now thinking about providing rules for that. You cannot have any technology devices during tests. Some colleges do that, others don't. Now, what does that indicate immediately? It indicates the deception of the human heart, the wickedness of the human heart, to look for the answer on the phone or on the wristwatch rather than studying. Rather than memorizing. There's something within the human heart that despises authority telling me anything. Why do we have people arrested all the time? The every day, I get the post from the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Department on my Facebook page. I follow them, and I see people that I have known through the years from time to time, arrested on meth charges, fentanyl possession, the sale of narcotics. You'll see those kind of things. Now, that is somebody that despises authority. Don't tell me. I want to make money. Don't tell me I can't do that. We have a new speeding law in the state of Florida. If you get 3 offenses, you can have your license taken away for 6 months. It's very strict. They're not going to put up with racing and doing these donuts and the thing. The law is very, very clear on that. You get 3, your license is taken away. And if you're caught driving without your license, no matter what your age is, you're going to jail. Because people are put in harm's way by somebody that hates authority, that has a real problem with authority. We don't talk about this a whole lot because it offends people, gets upset. Why are rioters out? They despise authority. And they love to repeat this. They're going against the Constitution. If you gave them a copy of the Constitution, some of them couldn't even read it. They have no idea what's in the Constitution. They're given talking points. This is what you say. If a camera comes up, this is what you say. All right? Their biggest problem is they despise authority. Don't tell us that you're coming in to get illegals. We know what you're really, you're trying to take away our rights. And so what do? They take away your rights to peace. They take away your rights, standing outside of a hotel, banging trash cans, and sending off sirens and so forth like that. Does that sound like peace-loving people to you? No.
Inside a church.
Yeah, coming inside of a church. I have to say, I appreciate that pastor. He just kept reading. This is the house of God. We're here to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're disrupting our worship of Jesus Christ. And he repeated that over and over and over again as they were coming in and scaring the kids, shouting obscenities at young people. Not peace-loving people. They're fools that despise authority. And we need to call them out for that. A fool has a problem with his dad. And therefore, because he has a problem with his dad, he rejects his dad's instruction, his teaching, his communication of that which is good and wholesome and right. He has a problem with it. And that's why we have the annex over here at Santa Rosa. You worked in the Santa Rosa Sheriff's Department for years and years. Who abides in the annex? Yes. Yeah, it's the worst of the worst. There's Santa Rosa Correctional, then there's Santa Rosa County Jail Annex. They put the murderers in there, the violent criminals, the ones who have demonstrated they don't care about whether they kill you or look you in the face. They put them in there because they put all their rotten eggs in one basket. Now, there are people that say, oh, we shouldn't say those things about them. But listen, folks, we've got to be honest. Grace is not dishonest. Can I say that again? Grace is not dishonest. Grace deals with things face up. How did grace deal with our sin, Doris? What did it require?
Forgiveness.
Required the forgiveness that comes from God on the basis of what? The blood. The blood! That was grace. He took our sin in His body on the tree. That was grace. Death, blood, that was required. Grace never overlooks sin. Grace confronts sin. That's why we have Titus 2:11-15 in our Bibles. The grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's the layout of what grace teaches. And for people to get offended and say, well, we shouldn't be calling them. We should be calling them potential souls to be saved. Well, they are potential souls to be saved. But what have they demonstrated? A hatred of law and order. And they have to be dealt with by law. Who established law? God did. He gave to His nation a moral code, the Ten Commandments. The first of them deals with who's boss. Amen? What is the first commandment?
God's the boss.
God's the boss, and we're to honor Him. All right? And we're not to take His name in vain. There's an establishment of an authority structure. It goes from God to the nation to the home. Isn't that interesting? The Ten Commandments looks very much like our passage here in Proverbs. God is in charge. He is to be honored and glorified. The nation, we're not to steal. We're not to kill. That is murder. All right? Then it goes to the home. It talks about thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Children are to honor their parents in the Lord, for this is right. You've got the authority structure of life here upon this earth laid out in the Ten Commandments. A father gives that instruction in the home, and the fool despises that because the fool despises authority. Authority has not been done away with. As a matter of fact, we're going to find out what authority looks like during the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ. It's interesting that the authority structure of Jesus is repeated over and over again in the millennial kingdom. What it's going to be? It's going to be a rule of a rod of iron. Well, that doesn't sound very good. Oh, it does to peace-loving people. It does, because that's what God does to maintain order and peace. There are going to be people that are going to disrupt Jesus Christ's reign with their anti-authority stance, and they're going to be dealt with. They're going to be dealt with. And we have to understand and know that. It's going to be a time of justice, equity. All right? We're all equal under the law of Jesus Christ. It's going to be a rule of righteousness as opposed to unrighteousness. And by the way, Christian, you'll be involved in judging others during this period of time. For the Bible repeats over and over again that the saints are going to be involved in the rule and exercise of authority here upon this earth. Under Jesus Christ, there's going to be an authority structure. That's how order is maintained. How many of you believe there's an authority structure in heaven? Absolutely. Without an authority structure, there is no order. There is no peace. And so the fool says in his heart, the one who rejects God and despises wisdom and acts with moral corruption, he says, Dad, I don't want what you have to give. I don't want what you have to give. I have read stories of men who left home despising their parents, who later on came to faith in Jesus Christ and said the most bitterness that they deal with in their Christian life was how they treated their parents whenever they were younger, and they wish they could go back and change that. Now, you can't. It's under the blood, praise the Lord. But the memory of rebellion is an awful thing. It scars the mind and the life. Let's go on here. I found this statement by Dr. Garrett, a writer of commentary on Scripture and Proverbs. He said, one's attitude toward parental teaching will determine one's lifelong attitude toward authority and instruction. Do you realize that there are many that don't believe that in churches today? I don't believe that. But it's true. One's attitude toward parental teaching will determine one's lifelong attitude toward authority and instruction that comes from authority. when you've been taught obedience to authority, whether it's voice commands or whether it's written commands, and you learn to obey, your attitude is being set for life about how you respond to authority and to instruction. That's a good thing. Yes.
Dr. Hobbs used to teach about authority in the home, and he would be one to say that children should be taught to obey by 3 years old. And that's something that the father has responsibility to teach them to obey when they're young. So that when they get old, they know what obedience means and what authority means.
Yep.
From that. And I think there's a big lack there that produces fools. If they don't do that, they produce fools.
Yeah. So, and that's what the Bible says.
There's a responsibility on the father to bring that into the children's early on.
Right. And you'll find in the Proverbs, and this is very interesting to me, that the father is always the one that lays out the instruction and law. The father is. It's repeated over and over from Proverbs 1 all the way through chapter 22, chapter 23. The father establishes the instruction. And do you know how many homes today don't have dads?
Yeah, 50%.
It's close. Well, I was going to say it's around 42% in black homes have no dad. 33% in white homes, no dad. And so we've basically, because of our view of marriage, all right, our views of marriage and divorce, as a result of that, we've created this big problem where there is no man establishing order within the home. What happens in a divorce when there's kids involved is the man tries to be the buddy of the kids because they want to get as much time with them as they can. The buddy system doesn't work when it comes to training and teaching kids. That's wonderful to take them fishing and to do all those things, but if that's all you do and you're not teaching and you're not laying out instruction for them and you're not establishing parameters in their life and enforcing them, you are basically throwing your kids to the wolves. You're throwing them to the wolves. This isn't very popular teaching because we're being sold a bill of goods that psychology is the way to go and all this kind of stuff. And as a result of that, we've got psychologized fools always looking for an end around. Get around the consequence. Get around the consequence. When you despise authority, you also despise consequences that come from what authority has said you're supposed to do. And people don't like consequences. It's an awful thing. If my car is throwing up a check engine light and I ignore it, you may be all right if you're driving a GMC because they throw up those things all the time. There's nothing wrong. All right? I learned that over and over. That I took my GMC vehicles down for years. They've always had a check engine light problem. I don't know what it is. It's just a systemic problem with GMCs and Chevys and stuff. And I would take it in. Oh, there's nothing wrong. And why is it throwing up the code? Well, that's just a problem with you. Well, how do you know whether it's real or not? It's like crying wolf over and over again. And then there are some makes and models that the check engine light doesn't come on until it's too late. And the motor's burned up, all right? Volvo, that's been their number one criticism, that the check engine light comes on too late. The damage is already done. So you got to strike that thing. You know, you want to pay attention to the check engine lights of life. And authority is a good thing. Now, those that abuse authority and go beyond the scriptures, that's a whole different discussion. But we're dealing with a dad here that loves his son. And the fool says in his heart, I don't like what my dad has to say, and so I'm going to walk away from it. I'm not going to follow it. But then there's the other side. I'm thankful for that. In typical fashion with the Proverbs, you have a comparison contrast that's always given. And there's a statement that's made here about the wise son. You have a fool despising his father's instruction. I've got up here, the foolish son presumptuous, arrogant, egotistical, despising discipline or correction. Then you have the wise son. He heeds the warnings of a father. Heeding the advice of one's parents brings honor, we're told. I need some of you to help me out here right now. John, could you look up Proverbs 12:1? Mike, would you look up, please, Proverbs 13:1? And then, Brother Lynn, would you look up Proverbs 13:13 and 18? We find this to be true, and this is just a small sampling of the Proverbs here, that deal with this thing that heeding the advice of one's parents brings honor. How many of you agree that honor is a good thing? Yeah. Bible says it. So, let's look at this first one, Proverbs 12:1. John? Yeah. Again, the comparison that's given there. Sad. Someone that loves instruction. It's a good thing. You hate it? You're indicating what kind of character you have. The next verse, Proverbs 13:1.
A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen.
Yeah. The scoffer doesn't listen to rebuke. We could go through and list dozens of Proverbs that deal with this simple thing. The person that has a problem with parental authority. A person that has a problem with they hate it, they despise it, and then the result is given. Sadly. The next one, Lynn, Brother Lynn. 13 and 18 of Proverbs 13. Yeah, he that regards rebuke will be honored. What are our responses to correction and instruction? It's a telltale of where you are at that moment in your life. We get many times so defensive. Somebody says, listen, what you're doing here is wrong. No, it's not. Immediately blow up. No, it's not. I'm doing it the right way. What do you know about it? You know, instead of saying, all right, let me take that to heart. Let me look at that again. Let me look at that again and see if it's the case. You know, what Mr. O'Pager used to tell me in algebra class, I had algebra 2 and geometry with Mr. O'Pager. And there was a lot of times when Mr. O'Pager said, I don't know how in the world you came up with that answer. And I would reply to him, I don't know how I came up with it either. I have no idea. You know, and he would sit down with me and he would say, this is how you come to the conclusion, to get the three dots. Therefore, it's a good thing in algebra. It's structural. It's in order. Oh, and the light would come on. That's how you get it. I only skipped 2 steps. I'm pretty good, right? No, if you skip steps, you're pretty bad, right? Let's just call it what it is. But it would have been stupid for me. My answer is right, Mr. O'Pager. I'm sorry, but yours is wrong. Now, you think about that for just a moment. What am I saying by that? I'm my own authority. I think my answer is correct. And just because you're a teacher and you have training in algebra and so forth, that means nothing to me. I know what I know. My truth is that it's correct. That's what I despise about that phrase, my truth. What does that mean? Your truth. It doesn't mean anything biblical, I can tell you that. It's basically my error. That's what you're saying. Anytime you say my truth, you're saying it's my error. Because you're going against the truth. Yes, sir?
Now, lack of authority, what we're saying at high levels, governors, mayors, whatever,
right,
reflects certainly the media portrays it and the young people see this. But I'll go back and watch the whole Perry Mason thing. I remember in the early Perry Mason, you know, you get up, I brought up a book, you know, help me, God.
Yep. Right.
So I notice that God is no longer in the equation, whether it's there or it's with these people who are authority figures in our state.
Yeah. Yeah, now it's just raise your right hand. You know, they used to have you
now
put your...
To tell truth based upon what?
Yeah.
Me?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, we have to stop there today. We're going to pick up with this because we just dealt with home education, and we're going to be dealing with the next thing, which is related to the home economy. Do you know that the Bible speaks about the home economy? We're going to deal with that. We're talking about the money handling and the wisdom that God gives about that. The Bible has so much to say about how you conduct yourself with your money, how you're to be wise with your money, not to be foolish. And we're going to be dealing with that subject in the home, Lord willing, next time. Father, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, it speaks to every issue of life. And we oftentimes have gotten so used to how we think and how we want to live and how we want to do things that we really just don't care what the Bible says. How sad to live the life of a fool. And we know what the end of a fool is. The Bible makes that clear. It's destruction. So I pray, Father, that you would stir our hearts to hear the word, to accept the correction, to accept the instruction of your word and not be defensive or angry or lash out against it, but rather allow it to do its work because it's for our good and for our blessing. We pray now your blessing upon the morning worship service. We pray that Jesus Christ would be exalted, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.